Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries. I am your host, Elder Lydia Johnson, and I bid you greetings in the name of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our topic for today is I'm Impressed. Glory to God. Choices, choices, choices. Life is filled with so many choices. And of course, swift transitions. Hopefully, before we're making these choices that we need to make, we're getting as much information as we can to make an informed choice. The sources of that information is also very, very important. Is the source reliable? Now, we know the Word of God is a reliable source. It was inspired by God himself, our creator, the one who knows exactly what we have need of, the one who set the world on its course, the one who created all things and made man. He knows exactly what we need. So he gave us his word, and it is absolutely reliable. We know that God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. And I know it's almost impossible for us to fathom that there's a being that actually cannot lie and who is perfect, but that is our God. He is perfect, our creator. Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest. So we must make wise decisions. And why is that? Because we are so impressionable. Oh, my goodness. Everything makes an impression upon us. So we have to choose wisely the voices that we hear, and we also have to choose wisely the voices that we don't hear, because all voices make an impression, and those impressions have the potential of bringing forth life or death. Now, an impression is an effect, a feeling, or an image retained as consequence of an experience. Now, some impressions are indelible, impossible to remove or alter. It cannot be washed away. It cannot be erased. It cannot be changed. An impression is an imprint. Now, have you ever put your thumb down onto your skin or walked on the sand and looked back and your shoe print was there? That imprinting is an impression. That imprinting that your thumb makes in your skin is an impression. Well, the Word of God also makes an impression. If you choose to reject the Word, you still cannot deny its impression. If you choose to ignore God's warning, you still cannot erase its impression. If you can choose to go back to the life, your life of sin and dysfunction, you can choose to do that, but you still cannot alter the impression that the Word of God has made. You can try to run, you can try to hide yourself from the face of God, but you still will not wash away the impression. The Word of God lets us know it will either drive you or draw you, but you cannot deny its impression. And that impression will stand against us and judgment in the end. So I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to do a bit of reading once again, verses 1 through 23. So I'm just going to ask that you be patient with me as we read. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. I hope you have your Bibles, your pens, and your notebooks ready to write down a few scriptures and a few notes so that you can go back and study these things on your own. You are the one that has to be fully persuaded of the things of God, and he wants you to be completely whole. And I mean complete and whole. Amen. Verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias or Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet had he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the word in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I thought it was important to read the entire parable so that you could get a clear picture of Jesus' teaching and bring forward a few important points we may have missed in our past studies. Beginning at verse 15, I want you to take a look at this because I found it to be amazing, which the Word of God always is amazing. Amen. 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 Verse number 15, I'm just going to reread that to you. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Glory to God. What the Lord is speaking of is a heart condition, and he did say that. So in verse number 15, the word waxed gross actually refers to the heart itself. The word is translated pahuno, and it means to make sick or fat. Metaphorically, it actually means to make stupid, to render the soul dull or callous. You know, I never really imagined that the Word of God actually had the word stupid in there. You know how we actually make fun of, some make fun of each other in saying that, which is, it's not a very nice word, but that's what happens to our heart when it becomes dull and it becomes thick and it can no longer be penetrated by the Word of God. It has actually been made stupid. It's been made dull and callous, and so that no longer can our eyes see or our ears hear because our heart has been affected. This is a heart condition, and you know, even in our natural bodies, if our heart is affected, all of our other organs begin to fail. When you have a heart condition, you're weak, you can't think like you used to, you can't see like you used to. I happen to be a nurse, and I have had many patients that have had heart transplants and heart conditions, and everything fails because that heart is supplying is supplying blood to the entire body, which is supplying oxygen to the entire body. And if you don't have enough oxygen or enough blood, then every other system begins to fail. Oh, my goodness, look at that. The Greek word for understand here is sunneme, and it means to join together the mind. There had been an invasion in their minds. Their thinking was distorted or disjointed. It wasn't joined together. The brain wasn't, those synapses weren't connecting any longer, so that they were unable to comprehend, so that they would be converted and be healed. Their sin, their arrogance, their rebellion, our sin, our arrogance, our rebellion, amen, has caused these things to take place. The spirit of darkness that prevailed over them and over us kept them from being delivered. That same spirit that overtook them is still present in the earth and has also done the same thing in us. We see it in our services when we're in our churches every week. The wayside here in verse 19 is the one that was on the side of the road here, is what I call it, the wayside here, the one on the side of the road. The word is preached. Amen. And they hear the word, Satan comes in immediately and snatches away what they hear. His first order of business is to thwart the plan of God, cause it to appear less powerful and unnecessary. He causes your mind to wander. So instead of meditating on the word that you just received and gathering in the word that's being spoken and taking notes so you can go home and meditate on it further and seek God so that you can get closer to him, you're thinking about what you have to cook for dinner. You're thinking about what the children are doing right now. What's my husband thinking while he's sitting there? Oh, my goodness, that's a pretty color up there. Oh, those flowers are so nice. He begins to make your mind wander rather than concentrate on the word of God. That's the wayside here, or the side of the road here. Now, there's also the stony ground here. The word is preached. Amen. Through the message, encouraged in the Lord, excited about Jesus. Now, this is the hearer that endures for a little while. But because he does not take that word and meditate on it day and night, because he does not consecrate himself before the Lord, because his prayer life is diminished or non-existent, trouble comes, and instead of the word bringing his life, being his life's bread, it becomes an offense. Everything you knew to be true is now a lie because you now have trouble in your life. Instead of running to the church and seeking the advice of the pastor, you listen to those who say, I knew it wasn't anything to that anyway. Girl, it don't even take all that. I know you've heard all that. I've heard it too. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Glory to God. Now, there's also the hearing among the thorn. The word is preached, but this here allows the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes to overtake him. Family is more important. Providing a comfortable lifestyle is more important. Making it rich is more important. It chokes out the word so that it is no longer fruitful. One who prayed daily does it less and less now. One who was faithfully reading the word does it less and less now. One who was faithful to the church comes to services less and less now because his obligation to his family, to himself, and to himself has become greater than his obligation to God. Glory to God. Now, let's expose the enemy. You know, the spirit of Satan is the Python spirit is a spirit of divination. Glory to God. It is one of the vilest demonic spirits that Satan brings forth, and I do believe it is Satan himself, literally squeezing the life out of those who hear the word of God. His only obligation is death. What scripture says is he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is death. glory. It was the spirit of Satan who spoke to Eve in the garden. He told her, that's not what he meant. You won't surely die. He just knows if you eat that fruit, you'll be as powerful as he is. He choked the life out of Eve and changed the course of nature. He always attacks the plan of God. Keep that in mind. Always. It was this same spirit that entered into Saul, Israel's king, and caused him to lose favor with God. He was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites, but he and his men, being seduced by the devil, kept some of the riches and held the king captive. Samuel had to kill the king himself and rebuke Saul. This is what Samuel said about this spirit. For the sin of divination is rebellion. Insolence is both iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, so he has rejected you from being king. And now we're exposing the devil right now. Note that rejecting the word caused him to be rejected as king and changed his life and his family's lives forever. See the impression. It is inescapable. Glory to God. Sin results in a series of unfortunate events. Disobedience is sin. This is the way that seems right to most people today. Oh my goodness. But you didn't come to that conclusion. The destroyer did. The word says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now we have many that are intellectualizing the word right now. I actually saw that there's a podcast that is actually, you know, hosted by an atheist. And you know, but they certainly are entitled to their opinion. But what they also have to understand is that same opinion will stand before God. Those same impressions that they are making into other people and that someone has made on them will stand in judgment against them someday. Oh, my God, but there's time to change the what we hear. There's time to change what we see. There's time to change what we know, because the word of God is constantly trying to make an indelible impression on our hearts to know that we can be healed, that we can be whole, that the devil is a liar, and that the word of God, it is true, that Jesus came through 40 and two generations that we might have life, and that more abundantly. That is the message, Jesus and him crucified. Amen. He became sin for us on the cross so that we would no longer be alienated from the face of the Father, and so that we no longer had to endure death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. He took the keys. He suffered so that we didn't have to suffer like that anymore. He redeemed our souls from bondage. That's the word. That's the truth. That's the message. And the message is he brought you life. Oh, so that you might live again. You don't have to remain in the condition that you're in right now. You don't have to listen to those voices that are speaking into your ears right now. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. Oh, it just don't take all that. You don't have to do all that. All you have to do is be a good person. But the awful thing about those words and having heard those words, and I've heard those words many times myself, the problem with that is there are going to be so many morally good people in hell because they did not follow the direction that God gave them. God gave us a way to salvation. There is no other name whereby men must be saved except Jesus. You cannot come to the Father any other way. There's no other way to Jesus. No other way to the Father except through Jesus. Amen. So it behooves us to repent. Repent, be godly, sorrowful for the things that we have done. Put away those things of the past and become a new creature. He said that, behold, you become a new creature when you follow Christ. Amen. Repent, the word says. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Read the book of Acts chapter 2. He will direct you. This was the beginning of the church. This is our direction. This is the way that Jesus told us to go. He told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. He had instructed them for 3 years, and they weren't sure exactly how to go forward. They knew they had to go forward, but they weren't sure exactly how they were going to do it. But the Lord let them know, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I am going to come to you myself. Glory to God by my Spirit. Glory to God. And they did as Jesus instructed. Can you imagine if they had listened to the voices throughout Jerusalem telling them, oh, that's not the Messiah. What are you doing? You're going to be stoned. They're going to kill you as a heretic. They're going to kill you for blasphemy. If they had listened to those voices, we would not have heard the word of salvation. We would not be healed on today. But they didn't listen to those voices. Although those voices made an impression, they decided to turn from them and follow Jesus anyhow, because that was the word that pricked their heart. That was the anointing that they felt in their souls. When they were in the presence of God Almighty, they felt something that they had never felt in their life. Can you imagine actually physically being in the presence of God? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He makes that available to us too by his Spirit, by his living water. Amen. That comes into us and abides. His Holy Spirit does that. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at the hearer who receives the word in good ground. And I hope you are that hearer today and you're hearing my words and you're repenting even right now. Oh God, I'm so sorry for every sin I have committed. I know I have been a filthy, dirty, nasty mess, and I'm talking about myself right now. I know every time you said go right, I turned left. I know every time you said do this, I did that. Oh, my God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I am moving forward, and I am turning toward you right now so that you can make me whole and change my life. I want that abundance that you promised us, and I know it's not mine unless I turn. Oh, God, I turn right now. Oh, Father, give me the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Make me whole, Lord God. Let me speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, just like the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. Oh, God, give me that gift. I hope you're praying that prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Purge my heart, cleanse me, Lord, from all unrighteousness, and make me whole. Now let's look at the hearer. They'll receive the word in good ground. He hears, he understands, he obeys, and he bears fruit. Amen. This is the one who's in fasting and prayer on a regular basis, who's meditating on the word of God, who's seeking the face of God, who receives and has experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the word talks about baptism in water and baptism in the Spirit, being washed. Hallelujah. Hide. He's the one that hides the word in his heart so that he no longer sins against God. And when he does find himself in error, he immediately goes before God for cleansing, amen, and in repentance. Whew, now that's an impression. Oh, I'm so impressed with the Lord. I praise God for everything that he's doing among us. I thank him, thank him, thank him. He continues to move. He continues to enlighten. He continues to bring us forward. Amen. I'm going to ask that you do this for me. Amen. If you have enjoyed the message, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior on today, write me a note at my website. It is amazinggrace-extraordinarytruth.com. Amen. Leave your prayer request. I will pray for you and with you each and every day that God continue to strengthen you and to bring you up. If you do not have a church home, also express that if you'd like to be a part of our assembly. Glory to God. And in the meantime, I just want to thank you for being with me today. Thank you for humbling yourself before the Lord. Thank you for being willing to look at the Word of God and what He has said and the healing that He is bringing forth in His people. God wants us to be whole, and there is no doubt about it. He wants us to be excellent. He wants us to be like Him. Amen. Excellent, excellent, excellent. God is truly, truly amazing. And we praise God for His unmerited favor and the extraordinary truth of His word. Until next time, be blessed, be whole, and be amazing.